It's now time for On the Line with Cheryl Wilkerson. The conversation will range from local dialogue to international. This show is meant to enlighten, inform, and to inspire. On the Line with Cheryl Wilkerson begins now.
Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm your host, Cheryl Wilkerson. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, and birthday blessings going out to my niece, Erica Cahoon. She's in Germany, but by way of this miraculous radio now, hopefully she is getting this birthday blessing. So how are you all? How was your week? How's everything going? Do you have plans for St. Patrick's Day? I do want to tell you that if you know somebody or if you're the type that likes to go out and drink for St. Patrick's Day, Lyft, the car ride company, car sharing company, they are offering free rides today up to $15. So you can Google that to look it up and see what it's all about. But I know I did hear that earlier. So just be safe out there. So today's show, we do have an interview coming up later. But before that, there were just some things that happened. They've happened in the last couple of weeks or the last week that I just wanted to sit down and talk to you about, get your opinion on, have you think about, and just want to share news and information. That is what I am most passionate about. I feel that my reason on earth is to give out news and information so people can be involved and they can know what's going on. So that's what I do. And I thank you all for allowing me to do that. Okay. All right. So you probably know by now that President Joe Biden clinched the Democratic presidential nomination earlier this week. The president also said that, quote, the threat Trump poses is greater than ever, end quote, referring, of course, to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to be the GOP nominee. So here we are, back to these men once again wanting to run the country. What are you going to do? I know of people. I know there are people that don't believe in voting. I get that. Everybody doesn't do everything, okay? Maybe I don't get it, but I understand. You know, everybody doesn't want to vote. But it is right now, as I think President Biden said, it is a time now. This company, this country is in jeopardy. And we could almost be going back to the days of, you know, the Civil War, as he said, if people don't get out to vote. And it's so weird because usually people would get out to vote for a presidential race. We would fuss because people wouldn't get out for other races, but usually presidential race, people would get out and vote. But now we find ourselves saying, hey, you've got to get out to vote. And all these different polls, please, you all, don't listen to these polls, whether they're something you want to hear or something you don't like. They're guesses. They're guesses. They don't know what's going to happen, but you can control what's going to happen by getting out to vote. And when you go out to vote, please don't forget to take your children. And the thing about voting in 2024, a lot of times people will say, well, what does it matter without vote? Because they're all politicians and they have more in common with each other than they have with us common folk, right? Well, now you see a clear difference, clearly defined difference between these two men. So whatever you think is the right direction the country should go in, that's what you should do. But please make plans. It's in November. Please make plans to vote, okay? More political news I read earlier this week. Check this out. More than 60 staffers at the Republican National Committee, they've been laid off, fired, whatever word you want to use. Now get this. The layoffs came 3 days after Michael Whatley, he's a Republican operative in North Carolina, and Laura Trump, that's Trump's daughter-in-law, were unanimously elected to chair and co-chair the party. So you can see, again, the direction that the party is going in, the Republican Party is going off. They laid off more than 60 staffers just this week. And the Trumps are in there. So if that's what you like, they're in there. If that's what you don't want to see, the Trumps are in there. So, again, it is up to us to take care of our country, right? One thing I want to talk about is, you know, I've been hearing about these weight loss drugs. And I know some people get on their high horse and they say, oh, why don't you just do it naturally or whatever? So let me just say this. I would be afraid to take any of these drugs, right? But I understand people that have struggled with their weight, they see it as another option, right? But I think it was like 2 weeks ago, I saw an acquaintance of mine, and she was posting on social media, and the first thing she said was, "Stop it." And it caught my eye because that's not even the way she talks. She doesn't even talk that way. And it was like, "Stop it." And I went on to read the post, and what she was saying is, "Please stop taking these weight loss drugs." And she was saying it because people are not able to get the drug that need the drug for diabetes. And, you know, when you see a loved one that needs the drug and they can't get the drug because other people are taking the drug for weight loss, well, you get feelings there. Then you hear people that are taking the drug for weight loss and they say, "Well, this is a serious problem for me because if I don't lose this weight, you know, I could face serious health problems as well." So I see the whole picture, and we can talk about the whole picture. But you have to think about what is best for you. And I'm just always so leery of what we put in our body, whether it's food, whether it's medicine, chemicals, drugs, whether you're spraying a can of Lysol. What is that doing? What that can of Lysol, what is that putting into my body? Because you just know it's not always positive. It's not. I mean, they tell you it's going to kill germs or whatever, but does it tell you what it's going to do to you? So I want you all to start thinking about your bodies and being proactive with it. I read a story, again, going back to Ozempic. And, you know, the drugs are worldwide. These weight loss drugs, diabetic drugs are worldwide. The story was coming out of England. There was a woman, Sam King, and she was talking about she was at the heaviest she'd ever been at 266 pounds, and she had tried every kind of diet there was, keto, diet shakes, everything. And she said nothing worked. She said she would go to the gym, spend like 2 hours in the gym, lose 1 pound in 3 weeks. And she said then she put it back on again. You can imagine how disheartening that would be, right? But back in 2022, her doctor told her about Ozempic, and she went on to say in the article about how excited she was. And she was desperate to lose weight, and she would have tried anything. That's what she said, right? But now she regrets it. She's telling the other side of the story. And she said she stopped taking the medicine after 3 months because she never really lost any weight, but she gained other problems. One thing she gained was vertigo. And, you know, vertigo causes dizziness, makes you feel like you're spinning when you're not really spinning. She also said that since taking Ozempic, she has struggled with nausea. So there are effects and there are consequences. And I know everybody is painting the rosy picture of these weight loss drugs. I should say these diabetic drugs. But again, you have to decide for yourself what is the best thing to do. And maybe there are other ways that you can accomplish some things, which is interesting because, you know, Oprah, so many of you probably saw the story where she was with Weight Watchers on the board and everything, and they asked her to step down, or she stepped down because she started taking the weight loss drugs. And she has a special coming up. I want to say it's the 20th or the 23rd of this month. And some people are even upset that Oprah would even have this special on television talking about weight loss, because some people say when you're taking drugs like this, you are, quote unquote, cheating. End quote, right? Yeah. So some people are upset about that and they don't even want to see the special. But again, it's coming up. Check your local listings and I'm sure you can check that out. But just be careful with your bodies. Speaking about being careful with your bodies, I hope everybody saw where Johnsonville Sausage, they had a recall, more than 35,000 pounds of kielbasa sausage. Why is the sausage being recalled? You know, the sausage, you go to the store, you buy the sausage, you think it's healthy. Why is the sausage being recalled? Oh, there were rubber parts found in it. You all, what is going on? How are you getting on an airplane and the window is blowing out? How are you getting on an airplane and the wheels are falling off? How are you getting on an airplane and both the pilot and the co-pilot are going to sleep for 30 minutes? what is going on with people? People, is it we've raised a generation where, you know, we didn't demand excellence for them. You know, they didn't have to do chores growing up. They didn't have to read books growing up. And now you go and you get a job and you know what? Yeah, I'm going to put this wheel on this airplane. But in the meantime, I got my ear pods in and I'm listening to the newest song by Drake. And I'm telling my buddy he needs to check this out. And I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing. Is that what's going on? How are these things happening? How are rubber parts ending up in the sausage? So, again, you have to look out for number one. But Johnsonville has recalled their products. At least two consumers found rubber parts in the meat. So the latest I heard on that is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they are inspecting and seeing what's going on with that. But it's not good. You really have to look out for yourself. I heard somebody say the other day, it used to be people would say, we're talking about earlier this week, I heard about inflation. And they said, oh, you know, eggs are going up again and cereal is going up again. But IKEA furniture, those prices are going down. Well, the rents are so high. Who's getting new houses? Who's getting new apartments? Mortgages so high. It just doesn't make any sense. You have to get involved with what's going on in the world. Because if not, you will be taxed until you can't be taxed anymore. You will be provided with shoddy materials and services until you can't be serviced anymore. You will just let things go on and be horrible. But we as consumers have to put our foot down. And I really think it starts with children. I really think that we need to give them structure. I know that we're exposing them to things they shouldn't be exposed to. The teachers told me that when I went to read to them the other week. I know some of us don't think it's cool to give them a schedule and books to read, and we don't demand that they do chores around the house and, you know, change the sheets on the bed every Friday and rake the lawn and cut the grass and come in the kitchen and help with dishes. We don't think that's cool because we want things better for them than it was for us. Well, better for them is for them to learn how to do these things and be good, productive citizens and to not take the easy way out and not to quit when things get, quote unquote, too hard. You all, I have never been on campus. I have never heard young people talk so much about, and when they leave the studio in the morning, what are you all going to do today? I always hear, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to take a nap. I'm like, I think we have been of disservice to our children. And now we're seeing the benefits of it, the results of it, not the benefits, the results of it. So we as adults, we as parents, we as elders, we have to do better and we have to get back to some good old fashioned do things the right way and do chores. That's just it. That is just the bottom line. And I hope, you know, take that with the love that I'm giving that out to. All right, I've got to get out of here. Don't forget, today is Selection Sunday. Go to the next topic, Cheryl, because I'll be talking about that last one forever. Selection Sunday, lots of good basketball coming up. Everybody's enjoying the girls' basketball. When I see everybody enjoying the girls' college basketball, I look at the NBA and say, don't you want people talking about your games and excited about your games the way they are about college basketball? Why don't you get out there and play basketball again and stop just shooting threes? But that's just my opinion, okay? That's just my opinion, okay? But, yeah, today is Selection Sunday, so we will look out for that. Spartans doing so well. I know we're going to get an NCAA bid. I put it out there in the universe. We're going to get it. All right, so we have a fabulous interview that I did earlier this week. Norfolk State University has a fabulous theater department. I'm here to tell you all about it. Don't you go anywhere.
We have Professor Stockard here and Adam and Miss Dent, who is the musical director. Professor Stockard, what do you attribute the success of the program to, other than you just being really good at this?
The students.
Okay.
The students work very hard. We have set an expectation that is of professional standard, and it's higher than most people would set, but they always meet the bar, and opportunities like this where the community is celebrating the work, enjoying the experiences, where the professional theaters, you know, they want to have our students in their productions because there really is no observable difference in the quality of the student performers.
And you were doing The Color Purple.
Yep.
And that is just close to the heart of the culture, right? Everybody,
yes, sir.
You know, I remember there was a time where I felt like if you were African American of a certain age and you weren't up on Color Purple, that definitely is a black card revoke moment.
Yes.
You know, Adam.
Yes, sir.
How old are you, young fella?
I'm 21.
Yeah, okay. So you almost could get away with saying, I didn't really know much about Color Purple, but you know now, right?
Oh, no, I definitely know. I watched the movie version a couple of years ago. I never saw the actual musical before, but I watched the movie version for the first time a couple of years ago.
And so your involvement with Color Purple on stage is you play Harpo.
Yes, sir.
It's going to rain on your head. How many times has somebody told you that?
All I ever get is, Harpo, who this woman?
This woman. That's it. It looked like somebody hit you in your head. It looked like the fist hit you in your eye. No, sir. No, sir. And what year are you in?
I'm currently in third year, so okay. I'm a junior now.
All right. And so what draws you into The Color Purple, and how do you find Harpo? How do you do that?
Honestly, the story itself is a very compelling and bold story of African Americans. The embrace of the African culture in the 1900s in Georgia is a very deep and unique story to be able to embrace, and playing Harpo is something that is honestly a privilege itself, because he is a young man, but he is good-hearted, and he is the new age of men. So he is really in his era where he is going to show a new start for men and how to treat women. Yeah.
You know what Harpo really shines on showing the new start is when he was like, Miss Silly, these pants. These pants, Miss Silly. How'd you do it, Miss Silly? How'd you do this? Oh, Miss Silly's pants.
Yeah. You see him trying out?
Wait.
So audition. I'm his manager.
He said, I'm a good manager.
Well, we want to talk to you, Ms. Dent. You are a musical director, but you've taken an unusual path, so I'd like people to talk about what you're doing now as a musical director, but also your background here at Norfolk State.
Yes, so I'm an NSU alumni. I graduated from the nursing program here, and I'm also a nursing professor here, but as I was getting my undergraduate degree here, I was also a part of the theater program for years. So I have been here throughout Professor Stocker's tenure. And so I've seen the theater program just grow. And I'm just amazed at the work that he's done with the students here. And I am excited about this show.
Now, this is a crazy question, but is there some connection that I haven't realized between nursing and music?
Well, I would say that music was definitely an outlet. If you are a nurse or a nursing student, you know how rigorous the program can be, or nursing itself. And so performing was just something that I love to do in my spare time. And I just, of course, found a love for it even more when I came here at Norfolk State. And so that love has gone nowhere. As you can see, I'm still a part of the theater program, and I'm very excited.
And that's really an interesting piece, right? And that's because I feel like that's the radio station. A lot of people think, oh, you have to be a mass comm major to participate in the radio station. And the answer is no. Like, listen, if you are a music media major, if you are a history major, if you major in, you know, at one point we used to have a funeral directory program, a director's program. It doesn't matter if you want to come and participate. You know, look at this like the library.
Mm-hmm.
Every student has the luxury to be able to use our library and all of its services, as well as obviously the radio station. And I think the one thing that's important, and I don't want to, you know, create any embarrassing moment here, but what you just said is, like, you've been here working with the program As a student, and now you're a professor here, mm-hmm. and you continue to work with the program in these 10 years, that means that Professor Anthony Stockard has done something amazing.
Yes, yes, he has.
Tell me about that man. What kind of leader, what kind of mentor, what kind of teacher has he been for you?
He has been an inspiration for not just me, but a lot of alumni and students as well. Just motivation. He pushes you past a point that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to your craft, the standard is set very high, and you meet that standard according to what's set out before you. And if you can't, you might be getting the boot. But I mean, at the end of the day, it teaches you something. It teaches you about work ethic. Mm-hmm. It teaches you about professionalism. Even though I was not a theater major, I was still held to the same standards as the theater students and those who are majored in it. And that's what I love about him. Very consistent about that.
Adam, what about you? What did you think?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, Professor Stockard, when I first met him, I was thinking to myself, I was like, yeah, no, this ain't gonna work out. But,
so ain't gonna wear me to death.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a challenge, but he treated me as a professional, mm-hmm. and somebody who is holding you accountable, especially as a young black man in the community. A lot of us now are being thrown away. And that is something he does not do. He really holds you to the standard, mm-hmm. and he wants you to become excellent, to become exceptional. Mm-hmm. And I just am greatly appreciative of that, because not having that figure in my life before is something that has helped me to consistently grow in my craft here, in my education in theater.
Professor Stockard, this program is known worldwide, nationwide, so I need you to open your mouth right now and tell us about the victories, the accolades, the honors that you and the program have received.
Well, there's not a major American award in theater and performance that we have not received. From
what?
The Kennedy Center to the the International Black Theater Festival, our University Resident Theater Association, these are all different benchmarks. IRTA is about academic excellence. The award was for sustained academic excellence in teaching acting. I was the fourth recipient to receive it, but the organization is 50 years old. And the American College Theater Festival is the Kennedy Center. There is no higher honor. There is none higher, none more competitive. And our students excel. And so it's one thing to go and compete. Every show has certain categories like acting, stage management, but a production going, you're competing against thousands of shows in the country, and they only pick five. And we just took Thoughts of a Colored Man 2 months ago as a selection. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all a part of the students. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you're the football coach, the basketball coach, the cheerleading coach, the choir director, the director of the station. You are only as good as the people. And there is a leadership piece of it, but if you don't have the people who are excited, who are disciplined, who are focused, who want to be excellent, it doesn't matter what your vision is. It doesn't matter what your excitement is. And all of those accolades, all of them, going all the way back to even Professor Dent, when I first got here and the students were here, they were so excited to be a part of the revolution and renovation and evolution of everything, literally of the building, of the program, of the shows, watching the audiences come out. It continues to be a special time to be in theater as we continue to, expand, those accolades. But I think the most beautiful reward they have received is those students who were here in the beginning who helped to lay the foundation. We didn't have the fancy building. We didn't have all the faculty and staff, so the students became that. And I have, even with our fancy new building and our expansion of resources, I will not let the students leave the discussions. They are always a part of what happens with what we're doing, and I think it gives them power and investment. And I think more than any external validation, it's when the audience comes and they know that beyond me acting in a role, I help build that set. I help with publicity. I help do the costumes. I help do whatever. There's an ownership over it that goes beyond external validation. And that's what I teach most of them. In this business, if you're chasing an award, you will lose yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're chasing excellence, awards will be drawn to you as a residual effect.
Amen. There's some high-profile names that have come out of the program that are doing some big things. You want to drop some names?
Sure. Right now, Brianna Guadalupe, she was one of the students who was here. She transferred from Alabama State to Norfolk State when I got here to continue her education and her study. She is on BET. She's on a couple of shows, actually, but the main one is the Miss Pat show. She plays the daughter. They have won Emmy Awards at this point. Mm-hmm. In the announcement of season two, season three was renewed, and halfway through season three, season four was renewed. I could go on and on about people who are working in theater proper, though. I mean, we don't even have enough time to have those discussions, but at America's best theaters across the country, some of them are in education, some of them are in arts administration. In my career, there's students go everywhere. You know, you just don't know where they're going to land. Right now, one is the lighting director for the Alliance Theater. It's the largest Tony Award-winning theater in America. And another one was production manager, which is one level of leadership under the artistic management at the Public Theater in New York, which is there is no higher. I mean, that's every actor would give their right arm to perform on that stage. I mean, they work hard. Mm-hmm. And some of what you teach in the skill, but a lot of it is endurance, grit, consistency, delayed gratification, mm-hmm. which is hard to teach these days when everything Amen. Is so immediate.
Amen.
But you have to create that environment where they realize this is a game of what they say, chess and not checkers.
Mm-hmm. Professor Stockard, so tell us a little bit about what to expect. We have so many sold out shows; people want to go.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity still? You know,
yes. As soon as I found out that all the shows were sold out, I talked to the cast because you know they're students and they got other stuff going on.
Right.
And it's close to the end of the semester. Finals week is the next week. I wasn't trying to, you know. So I said, are y'all okay with this? And so we added another show. We moved what is usually a student preview. We don't advertise student shows publicly because the public buys all the tickets and then the students can't go.
Right.
So we don't even announce them. So what we did was we converted a student performance to a public performance and then added the student performance early. So we were losing some rehearsal time, but we are rocking and rolling in rehearsal, so we're not really worried about that. But Thursday, there is still ticket availability. It is the only show. It was not on the original schedule. We added this performance to accommodate demand. It's already halfway sold out.
And that's what Thursday is that? That's Thursday.
That's the 11th. Uh-huh. The 11th?
The 11th of yep. April.
Of April yes. at 7:30 okay. p.m.
So 7:30 p.m. at 11, the 11th of April.
11th of April at 7:30 p.m. Brown Hall here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It is the added show. It now becomes our first public performance.
Tickets are still available, but get them now. I mean, oh, I think they may not. All of a sudden, I think they're already sold. Just that fast. Just that fast.
Oh, Lord.
and this is great, right? We just had the musical of The Color Purple that was yes. released back in December at Christmas time. And I think that has brought a lot of attention to the show or just kind of revitalized the interest in Color Purple. And it did okay. It's done. The musical direction of that program versus the original program was different. And then we have Professor Dent. You are the musical person for us here.
Yes.
What would you say, like, how did you capture the musical direction that you think we need to take to help people in the arena, in the playhouse feel like, this is where I'm going to get up and get out my seat. This is where I'm going to dance. Because, you know, we enjoy things a little differently. We ain't yes. going to sit there.
Well, we enjoy all kinds of genres of music, and you will get just that in this production. I mean, you're going to get some church. You're going to get some blues. You're going to get some jazz. You'll even get some sort of tribal, you know, type of feel when it comes down to the music. And the students have been working very, very hard to ensure that the quality of the music is excellent. And I'm very excited for you guys to hear that in the production. A lot of students who don't normally sing have been casted in roles where they are singing and they are singing, let me tell you. So I'm just really, really excited about that. And it's just amazing to watch the progress of the student from the beginning of the process all the way until what will be showtime. So, yeah.
Yeah, and if you've seen the movie version, you have not seen The Color Purple.
Yeah.
The movie is not the stage musical. Half of the songs in that show don't even exist in the stage musical. This is mm-hmm. a completely different experience than what you might have saw in the movies.
Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, I think they're saying that there's an opportunity for you to to sing in the role.
Don't want that.
Go ahead.
Sister.
Come on.
And this is the other thing. Everybody that can sing thinks other people can sing. Everybody can't sing, y'all. Okay? I'm here to tell you that. But we want to thank you all for stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
It's been great.
Thank you.
So once again, tell us when we can go to this almost sold out performance.
The last performance that was added is Thursday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. Brown Hall Main Stage Theater. Tickets are available at nsutheater.com. Doesn't matter what you do, R-E-E-R on theater, it's nsutheater.com. And we are over halfway sold. We added the performance about 2 days ago. It's almost gone. I'd advise everybody to go grab their tickets. And to those who already have tickets, I would just be out of order if I just didn't say thank you for everybody's continued support of the students of the theater. It's going to be an amazing time. I've directed this show 4 times, and this is the piece de resistance version. It's
excellent.
It's exceptional.
Adam, thank you, Mr. Harpo.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming through. Professor Dent, thank you for coming back and doing all you're doing with our students.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You all are great, and thank you so much for coming in. You know, like B said, this is your stage as well.
Yeah, when he said the piece, the resistance, he got fancy.
Yeah. I saw it in the TV commercial that I had to reuse it.
Listen, thank you all for coming. I appreciate y'all. Also, just kudos to you for everything that you're doing over there. You're keeping the program amazing. I hope that you understand that these two young people talking about you, they were doing nothing but, you know, sharing their truth. And that's important. Anytime a man pours into the black community, we have to recognize and raise you up. Thank you, sir.